you've not been to Sunday school for a little while, just to let you know what we're doing. We are working through this book, which is a really good book about discipleship. So we're continuing the series on following Jesus. I'm going to lead the session this morning. We've not met before. My name's Mark Smithers. And it's all about prayer. I think a few of us have just been discussing that little opening question, which says, in one sense, prayer's the easiest thing in the world, because we're all used to talking, aren't we? But actually, prayer to God can sometimes be the hardest thing. It would be silly of me, wouldn't it, if I didn't start by opening in prayer. So let me do that. Our Father God, we want to thank you this morning for the gift of prayer. Yet, Lord, we confess we are often prayerless people, and we often doubt even when we do pray. I ask, Lord, that as we think about prayer this morning, you'd help each of us to refocus and renew our energies in our personal prayer life. Lord, I ask that your Spirit would empower us and equip us to pray. And I pray, Lord, that we'd be like the disciples in Luke 11, who came to Jesus humbly and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And we ask, Lord, that you would be with our children now. I pray that they would learn great things about the Lord Jesus. And we ask all these things in the name of the greatest prayer who ever walked this earth, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hopefully you've all got a handout. That's the sort of direction of travel this morning. Just before we start, I think it's worth saying prayer's a massive topic. We've got about 40 minutes to think about it. But I won't be able to go into as much detail perhaps as some of us would like in some areas, so forgive me. But it's just such a wonderful subject to be talking about. Prayer is such a wonderful gift from God. And I also want to say I'm no expert. I'm not an advanced prayer. We don't have that in Emmanuel Church. But I can say as I've got older, I've become more and more convicted about the importance of prayer. And I've come to realise actually that all Christians are called to be like Jesus. I mean, we're Christians because we follow Jesus. So we're called to follow his example in word and deed and in prayer. And Jesus' whole life and ministry really was empowered by prayer as he walked in fellowship with God. And I've never really thought about this before. Prayer is part of our fellowshipping with God. That's why I put it in the title. Fellowship with God is all about prayer. So let's start with the basics, as we always do. What is prayer? Well, simply, prayer is speaking to God as our Heavenly Father. And it's speaking to God, as I said, as part of our fellowship with him. A wonderful truth of being adopted into the Christian family is to call God Abba, that meaning Father. So in one sense, we can come into our Father's presence and speak to him as a small child would come into their father's office or room and speak to them face to face. So it's just a wonderful privilege to be able to call Almighty God our Heavenly Father. And so just for a few minutes, we're going to think about why do Christians pray. And first, it's important to say that God is a speaking God, and God's people have always spoken to him. If you think about the way he's created us, as relational creatures, he's created the gift of communication. It's a two-way thing. So it's the most natural thing in the world for us as God's creatures to speak to him. And in the past, God spoke directly with his people. Think about Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And in response, God's people speak back to him through prayer. So that's the first reason we've been created as communicating beings. But secondly, we're commanded to pray. Scripture expects us to pray. I've put down a few references on the sheet there. At Romans 12, be constant in prayer. Colossians 4, continue steadfastly in prayer. And perhaps one of the most famous verses on prayer, Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So in everything, we should pray. And Jesus says in Matthew 6, when you pray, he expects his disciples, his followers to pray. And Jesus, as I said, is our model prayer. And at the heart of being a Christian is following Jesus. And we see in the Gospels, don't we, that Jesus constantly prayed to his Father. We're often told that he got up early in the morning to pray. Jesus prayed before performing mighty miracles. If you look at Mark chapter 9, verse 29, Jesus prayed. And we're told that at the most pivotal moments of Christ's ministry, in his salvation work, raising the dead, preaching, in Gethsemane, just before the cross, the Bible tells us that Jesus prayed. And Jesus teaches us how to pray, but also how not to pray. And we've studied Matthew recently, in Matthew 6. Jesus said that we are to pray to the Father, that our Father hears the prayers of our hearts. We're not to worry about how eloquent or how long our prayers are. And we have to be careful that we're not praying to impress other people. We are praying to our Heavenly Father. We're not to be a religious hypocrite. And Jesus' model of prayer, we're going to think about a bit later. I think it's really crucial to remember as well that Jesus knows how hard prayer is. And he had to teach his disciples about the importance of prayer. We probably all know that lovely story in Luke 18, where Jesus told them a parable about encouraging them to pray and not to lose heart. Do you remember the story of the persistent widow seeking justice? And the whole idea of that parable was, be persistent, keep praying. Well, the other reason we pray is that God hears our prayers, and wonderfully, he acts on our prayers. Prayer is the means by which God acts. James 5:16 says that the prayer of a Christian is powerful, it's effective. And I know that some people have struggled with human prayer and God's sovereignty and his providence. And as I said earlier, we don't have a huge amount of time to go into that. But a little quote here from Jim Packer I think is really helpful. He says this: there's no tension or inconsistency between the teaching of Scripture on God's sovereign foreordination of all things and on the efficacy of prayer. God foreordains the means as well as the end, and our prayer is foreordained as the means whereby he brings his sovereign will to pass. Well, I don't know about you, when I read Jim Packer, I need to read it twice. But I think he's saying God wills and ordains all things to happen, but he uses our prayers too as a means to bring about those things. So just a simple example from the Bible, 2 Kings 19, we read of Hezekiah. He was a man of prayer, he was king of Judah. And Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, has come up against him with his huge army against Jerusalem. And Hezekiah prays to God, O Lord our God, save us from his hand. And the Bible tells us that same night that he prayed, God answered his prayer. And God sent an angel who struck down 185,000 men dead in the Assyrian army. Now, the Lord was always going to deliver Hezekiah and his people. He'd ordained that to happen many, many years ago. But he waited for his servant to pray before he acted. So that's a really good example of how prayer moves God to act. And also in that quote from Jim Packer, he mentioned something we always need to be cautious of and get right in our praying, which is God's will. We need to remember our Lord Jesus modelled prayer, your will be done. Too often our prayers, my prayers, are a list of things I want. I want them to happen. But as we grow in the Christian faith, we need to pray much more in line with what God wants and less on our own selfish desires. And the mature Christian understands that his prayers to increasingly fall in line with God's desires and decrees, and we find them in the Bible. The more we read the Bible, the more we see what God's will for our lives are. And then we need to think about, why do we pray? Well, we pray because we depend on God. We are his creatures. And prayer shows God our thankfulness. Throughout the Bible, we're taught to depend on God for everything and not to depend on ourselves. We're to be full of thankfulness every day. And that's ultimately seen in our salvation, isn't it? We are to constantly thank God in prayer for his forgiveness for us, paid by Jesus' sacrifice. We depend on God and his goodness in creation. He provides for us. He provides food, shelter. He provides deliverance from our enemies, strength to fight sin, worldly desires and the devil. And we depend on God for the blessing of children. So we're commanded to be thankful to God in prayer. And I put down a nice quote there from Colossians 3 on the screen. Colossians 3:15. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Have you thanked the Lord this morning? We've all been up for a few hours. Have you thanked the Lord for a sunny day, for a church family, for food in your belly? It's good to give thanks daily to God. And I think prayer is another means by which we can praise God. We pray to bring our praises to God. We want to use our mouths to praise God. And when we sing later in our gathering, we're praying to him in song. And the Psalms are the great prayer and songbook of the Bible, aren't they? Psalm 106, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. When we pray, we want to praise God for who he is. So just a 1 minute on who we pray to. God's people are taught ordinarily or usually to pray directly to God as our Heavenly Father. It says that in Romans 8:15. Jesus taught us to pray that in Matthew 6. We pray in the power of the Spirit. So can I ask you to turn to Galatians 4:6? A little bit of Bible flipping. Helpful verse for us today. Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons of God, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So when we pray, the Spirit prays with us. The Spirit empowers our prayers. He helps us to pray. And when we don't know what to pray, he will in one sense overtake our weakness in praying. And actually, quite wonderfully, Scripture says he'll pray on our behalf. So flip back to Romans 8:26-27, which I think I heard a couple of people talking about earlier, which is good to hear. Romans 8:26-27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. What a wonderful promise to be encouraged by today. So we pray to the Father, we pray in the power of the Spirit, and we pray in Jesus' name. John 14 and chapter 15 and 16, Jesus says, whatever you pray for in my name. So when we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. But friends, that doesn't mean that we can't pray directly to Jesus. I know we often do. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Or to the Spirit. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying this is the normal pattern of prayer at all in the New Testament. So that's a bit on the why, a bit on the who, and now I guess probably the bit we're all interested in, why is prayer a challenge? So hands up who finds prayer difficult. I'm glad you all put your hand up. Otherwise that would have not disrupted my next point. Isn't it true that prayer's a struggle? I'm sure when you sat down with your neighbour a minute ago, We said, prayer's really easy, yeah? I can walk down the street and pray to God. But actually, to be disciplined, to spend time with God in prayer, can sometimes be really hard. And it's, as all our hands show, all Christians struggle with this. And the Apostle Paul, he was a Christian like you and I, he struggled. In Romans 15, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers. Prayer's hard work. Colossians 2, he says he's struggling for the Christians in prayer. This Greek word to strive, agonia, means physical exertion, expounding energy. It's like running a race. And that word is described of our Lord Jesus when he agonized in prayer in the garden. Prayer is hard. Prayer takes energy. Paul's colleague Epaphras in Colossians 2 is struggling for the Christians in Colossae. So we need to be honest with ourselves. Prayer's a battle. Prayer's hard. And probably the most significant reason for that is because we all have a fallen human nature. And if we look back in the Bible to Genesis, before the fall, God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. They spoke to each other. They had perfect fellowship. God in his creation lived in perfect harmony. Can you imagine how wonderful that would have been? Walking with God, just talking to him. But unfortunately, we know the story, Genesis 3. Sin enters the garden. The man and the woman hid themselves from God. Their perfect relationship, their perfect fellowship with God was broken. And as a consequence of the fall, speaking for us now with God is really difficult. Our relationship with God is fractured. And prayer is hard because we've got sinful hearts. We don't want to pray. We don't want to speak to God. In our fallen nature, we don't have the desire that we should have to have fellowship with God. So that's the bad news. That's why prayer is hard. But let's encourage each other. We believe in sanctification, don't we? We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. The third member of the Godhead is daily working in us. In our hearts, his job is to change that desire. The Holy Spirit is trying to mortify our sinful desire, to pull us back to God. And prayer is really central to that work, essential to our growth as Christians. In a sense, prayer is hard in the same way that faith is hard. We often want to walk by sight, don't we? We want to see God, we want to experience God. Faith can be difficult. And it's the same with prayer. We want instant answers to prayer. We want to get a sense that God hears us. And there's a good little quote in this book that we mentioned this morning, I put on your sheet. Prayer is part of the lifelong process whereby God weans us from our silliness and selfishness in which we live by our own fallen nature and introduces us to the life of grace and glory. I find that really helpful. It's a lifelong process. If you're sitting here today thinking my prayer life is rubbish or I need to pray more, well don't give up. The Christian walk is a lifelong journey. And I think we need to acknowledge, don't we, that we're in a struggle with prayer because we have an enemy. We have an enemy in Satan who hates prayer. He wants to stop us praying. He wants to stop us speaking to our Heavenly Father, to stop us having fellowship with God. I wonder if this has ever happened to you. You sit down to pray, the phone rings. Something you forgot to do at work pops into your head, you need to write a note. You forgot that email that you wanted to send. A really unhelpful thought creeps into your head. Your mind wanders, did West Ham win today? Actually, let's be honest, you stop praying, pick up your mobile and you start checking a few messages. Well, friends, this is the devil and he's tempting you. And he does that as soon as you think, I'm going to pray. He jumps onto your shoulder and starts to tempt you. Well, Randall quotes an old minister who I've not heard of, a guy called Samuel Chadwick, who says this, and let's own this. Satan dreads nothing but prayer. His one concern is to keep the saints from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, he mocks our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a great truth to remember that Satan trembles when we pray? He is at his weakest when we pray. And when we pray, Satan is thrown off his throne. In prayer, we acknowledge that our Father God is on his rightful throne and that the Lord Jesus is at his right-hand side. We are assenting to his authority. We are assenting to his rule of our life. So when we pray, Satan is at his weakest. So we thought about why we pray, we thought about how we pray, and we thought about why prayer is difficult. So let's try and encourage each other to pray more and share some tips, I suppose. So, we've said the Holy Spirit strengthens us to pray. Ephesians 6:18 says that we should pray in the Spirit. So God helps us to pray, and we do that in the power of the Spirit. And God's Spirit guides us in our prayers. The Spirit helps us to pray in line with his will. So we need to ask him to pray, and I'll put that quote again. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So it sounds really obvious, doesn't it? But pray about your praying. And in a minute, when we share with each other, let's all ask God to give us a growing desire to pray. Pray that the Spirit would move us to pray. And let's encourage each other to pray with other Christians, wherever and whenever we can. I found that a real personal encouragement, to pray with other believers. It spurs me on, it spurs them on. I try and meet up regularly with one or two people from this church and from my old church for a coffee and a pray. Sometimes we sit in a car park and pray. Sometimes we phone each other and pray down the phone. And I've done that with a few of you, which is encouraging. And for all the heartache and missed opportunities of lockdown, the one thing I found positive was walking with a brother or sister and praying for them. Walking in a nice park, praying to God. So is there someone or two people you can meet up with to pray? Get into a prayer triplet or just meet up with someone to pray. Prayer is something we can do with other Christians. And I guess today's a good day to say, are we committed to the church prayer meeting? I find that really helpful to get together to pray. If you said to me, Mark, I want you to pray for an hour tonight on your own, pray for a solid hour, I would struggle with that. But you put me together in a room of other Christians. We have some ideas to pray through. We share, we pray. I can pray for an hour. No problem. Thank you, Lord. And use the pattern of the Lord's Prayer. Why not open up Matthew 6 when you pray? Pray slowly through a line of the Lord's Prayer. And when we pray, let's get into that good habit of using Scripture in our prayers. I heard someone say earlier, sometimes I sit down and pray and I don't know what to pray. And I'm with you. But maybe open up a piece of Scripture. Why don't you open up Psalm 23 when you pray and pray like this. Lord, thank you that you are my shepherd, that I shall not want. Thank you that you are with me, that your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Make that Scripture your own. We've been preaching through 1 Peter, haven't we? How about this prayer? Thank you, Lord, that I have an inheritance in heaven, undefiled, unfailing. Help me this week to remember that. Lord, thank you that I'm part of a royal priesthood. Give me an opportunity to tell someone this week about the church, what it means to be a royal priest. Imagine that. Do you know what, Jim? I'm a royal priest. That would raise a few eyebrows, wouldn't it, at coffee at work. Or maybe we pray, Lord, I pray that marriages in our church would follow the pattern of submission, obedience, godliness, honour, described in 1 Peter. For I know that that pleases you. It's a very simple prayer, isn't it? We use Scripture in our prayer. I try and pray regularly for everyone who attends Emmanuel. In one sense, I have to. I'm an elder. But I try and keep this sheet open in the mornings. Before I go to work, I pray for two or three families or people. And Andrew sent me a copy of all the people who attend Emmanuel. Why don't you take one home with you today? I'll leave a pile there and commit to praying for people. And you might say, Mark, I don't know what to pray for people. So I will say to you, simply pray that they would love the Lord Jesus more. Why don't you pray that they would pray more? Why don't you pray that they would be in their Bible this week? And remember, when we pray for each other, the Spirit prays for them too. So if we get it wrong, so I was praying for Gavin preaching this morning. And actually, it's your husband. But that's fine, because the Holy Spirit knew that, and he put Dave's place in Gavin's place when I prayed. So the Spirit prays. prays on our behalf. Even when our prayers are weak and useless, the Spirit prays on our behalf. And it's good to pray for Christian brothers and sisters around the world. So I try and get one of these, which is a Barnabas Fund prayer letter, praying for people around the world. So I opened this morning, and there was just a nice little short update. It says, finding places in which to gather for worship is extremely tough for Algerian Christians. Many church buildings have been closed and sealed on spuriously administered grounds. Three churches in the city of Oran were forced to close last year after draining legal battles. These are among at least 20 churches closed. Ask the Lord to grant wisdom to his people as they lodge appeals against closures. I can do that. I can spend a minute. And I know that's a really specific thing to pray for. Pray for Christians in Afghanistan, fleeing, staying in people's homes, hiding. Yeah, I can do that. If you want to get a sign up, they have a prayer sheet on their website. Good to pray for our fellow brothers and sisters around the world. I will shut up in a minute. There's a little note on there about Acts. Some of you may have heard of this acronym Acts. So when we pray, perhaps have this pattern. It stands for A, stands for adoration. When we pray to God, we thank him for his attributes. He's a creator, he's a king, he's Lord of our life. C stands for confession. We're sorry for our sin. T stands for thanksgiving. We want to have a spirit of gratefulness in our prayers for daily bread, for health, for freedom to worship. Thank you for Jesus. And S stands for supplication. Present our requests, our petitions to God, but remembering to pray in accordance with God's will. Easy to say, but don't give up on prayer. In a minute, be honest with each other. How is your praying? Later on in church, you bump into someone. How can I pray for you? I'll be really difficult here. Pray for them there and then. Take them aside. Sit down next to them. Let me pray for you now. I'm not saying for some of that's uncomfortable, but be committed to praying for one another. And lastly, perhaps probably the most difficult thing to say this morning, and I'll say this carefully, because I don't want to sound pious or particularly religious, but in the last few years of my life, there are times when God has really moved me to get on my knees when I'm praying. As I said, I don't want to say that there's anything overly religious about that or ritualistic about on our knees. But in the Bible, people got on their knees in prayer. And I think there are times when it's good to get on your knees and pray. And I'll tell you why. When we prostrate ourselves before God, it reminds us that we come before a mighty King, a holy Lord. It reminds us of who we are and who God is, that actually we are just unworthy servants. And there's been times when God has so clearly answered my prayers, I do just get down on my knees because I think it's the right thing to do. It just seems right. And I think this is what the great preacher Murray McShane said, and I've left his quote there on the sheet for you. He said this, "What a man is on his knees before God, that he is, and nothing more." That's how important prayer was to Murray McShane. So I've spoken for quite a long time. It would be good to just turn to a neighbour, ask them how their prayer's going, share encouragements, share challenges, any questions that have come out of what I've said, and we'll then share a few encouragements and answer any questions people have. So let's just spend 10 minutes. We've got a couple of minutes for questions or comments. People wanting to share any encouragements or any challenges, any battles they've won with prayer. It's good to share with one another. Does anyone want a word of encouragement or Natalie?
Well, it's a battle that I won a while ago, but need to redo.
Okay.
It's a slightly different life. At the same time, one thing I found which was helpful to kind of focus prayer so that your mind doesn't wander off for everything else is to actually write them down as you're praying, because then actually you can't really kind of wander off and think about Tesco shop or whatever else you're thinking about, because you notice it as you're writing it down. But often you don't notice when you're just praying in your head, because 5 minutes later you're like, oh, flip, I was praying and I'm just, what am I thinking about? Whereas if I'm writing, just a bit more focused.
Yeah, but, excellent.
prayer for me to do that again would be helpful.
Yeah, it's good. Anyone else want to
share? Mark, the packet quote is really excellent. I think it's helpful because, you know, there's a sort of instinct that if you think everything's fallen, what's the point of prayer?
Yeah.
I mean, and to know that this packet quote is kind of a if fallen, if prayer is part of fallen, you've got a massive purpose for prayer.
Yeah. And can you believe that God waits for his people to pray before he acts? I find that incredible. Hezekiah prayed and the Lord acted. Amen. John?
Just an encouragement from James 5. You know, it's not in vain. James 5 says that the prayer of a righteous man is very effective. There is something to be gained.
Yeah. And in prep for this, there's some wonderful prayers in the Bible, you know, to see God's people praying. I've been reading 1 Kings. When Solomon built his temple, 1 Kings chapter 8, he prays for like a page and a half of the Bible. It's incredible. Solomon prays to God, and God answers him. And if you read the way he prays, go home and read 1 Kings chapter 8. It's amazing. The way Paul prays for people, you know, in some of the New Testament letters. So, again, we use the great saints of the Bible and their prayers. Push.
Romans 8:28 is a terrific encouragement to me.
Yeah.
It acknowledges clearly that I am in weakness, and I know this is absolutely true. And then it points out and reminds me that the Holy Spirit within me prays through me and through my weakness.
Yeah.
Because we acknowledge the fact that we don't know exactly what is the will of God at all times. In fact, very readily.
Yeah.
And this enables us to pray because the Holy Spirit is praying through us to God. And he knows what is the mind of God. He is God.
Yeah.
And he prays according to what God wants to do in us and in his church and in the world. And so that's how our prayers are directed.
We've got 2 minutes left. Will?
And I can just get over the awkwardness factor of just saying, what can I pray for you? Or just pray here, there and then. I don't think I've been in church before where people actually do that. And I realise as British people it is quite awkward. But even a non-Christian, if they go through a hard time, you say, can I pray for you about this week? No one's ever said no to me about that.
Yeah.
They probably dare say no. But then you've got something to follow up on. How's that thing going? Maybe you're praying for one of your school mums whose child is going through rage all the time. I think they appreciate that you're genuinely concerned and you're praying for them. But also just praying for a Christian brother or sister out on a walk. I think you have to get over the slight awkwardness of saying it, I do anyway.
Yeah.
But no one's ever said no, and it's really encouraging.
When I became a Christian, I went to the church. I'd gone on a church camp. A guy walked up to me and he said, are you Mark? I said, yeah. Another guy I've been praying for. Never met me. My name was on a sheet somewhere. Pray for this guy. He's going on a Christian camp. Wow, what a tribute to prayer. Why don't you just spend 1 minute praying with that neighbour? Just pray a prayer for each other. And then I'll draw us together and I'll close. So just pray for 1 minute with your. I appreciate that's a little bit hypocritical of what I've just said, the last 45 minutes. Let me just give you a little taster of Solomon's prayer. This is how Solomon prayed. Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel. He spread out his hands towards heaven and said, O Lord, God of Israel, there's no God like you in heaven above, on earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants, who walk before you with all their heart. Father God, help each of us to walk before you with all our heart. Remind us daily that there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath. Thank you that you keep steadfast love with your people. Lord, teach us to pray, equip us to pray, get us on our knees to pray this week. Thank you so much for the gift of prayer. Thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. And pray, Lord, as we go into the service later, as we gather together, we would worship you together with one voice, praising your great name. And we do ask that in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.